Good morning, and happy Mother's Day, and welcome to the house of the Lord today. Stuart has some announcements to get us going.
Morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. We got word Wednesday that Pearl Jackson passed away. As of right now, there is no information on a service. We'll let you know when there will be. I think it just might be a graveside service up at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. There are sign-up sheets over in Swain Hall for the cookout for Memorial Day. We're going to have chili dogs, so be sure to sign up for that so we know how much food to make. And today we are celebrating Mother's Day with a brunch in Swain Hall afterwards, so everybody is invited to come over and attend.
Thanks, Darren. A number of years ago, a man named Jim Elliott, along with some other missionaries in, I think it was in Peru, but along the Amazon, were all killed in the midst of trying to share the faith in Christ with people who had a strong reputation as warriors. But years before that, Jim wrote into his diary, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Later, Jim's wife and some other of the widows went back and continued that ministry, and incredible things happened in that community of people, people becoming believers after these men had given their lives. But that line, he who gives what he cannot keep, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I don't want to minimize that, trivialize that statement, but I want to put that a little bit in perspective just of a Sunday morning. By being here at worship on a Sunday morning, you are giving, to some extent, up your time. The comfort of just sleeping in on Sunday morning, doing other things on Sunday mornings, but you're giving what you cannot keep, your time, to gain what you cannot lose. Because when you're at worship, you gain the presence of Christ, being in his presence and being filled by his Holy Spirit, being encouraged in your faith, being inspired to be the kind of people God wants us to be. You are giving up some things by being here, but in doing so, you are gaining what you cannot lose. So give that some thought as we prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. This is our call to worship. Please stand if you're able. We come here this morning to celebrate.
We come here to celebrate the certainty of God's love for us and the fullness of God's care for us.
We admit that not everything in our lives is a joyous celebration. We run into many problems.
But amidst every problem, Jesus Christ stands beside us, and that gives us reason to celebrate.
We will now sing hymn number 293, This Is My Father's World. Let us recite the prayer of confession. Savior, please forgive us and grow us. You tell us, blessed are the poor in spirit.
But we are often full of ourselves. We live like we are self-sufficient.
You say, blessed are those who mourn. You announce, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
But many times we lack concern over what is good and what is just.
You declare, blessed are the merciful.
But we have difficulty letting go of our righteousness and sentences.
You assert, blessed are the peacemakers. You state, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
But often we care more about our peace and security than about justice.
Savior, forgive us and grow us to be more like you. Amen.
And this morning we have the joyous and special music. Fran Cummings is going to sing for us On Eagle's Wings.
Thank you. whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Thank you, Fran. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the encouragement of the message of that song. Thank you for lifting us up on eagle wings. Thank you for holding us in the palm of your hand. Thank you that there is no moment of our lives that you're distracted from what's going on in our experience. We may not always feel like you're there. We may not always feel like we are being held in your hands or lifted up by your wings, but the reality is that we are always in your watchful care, and you are always holding us in your caring arms, and we thank you for that. This morning, some people come to mind that we want to especially lift up to you in our prayers. Pray that you would hold them very securely in the palm of your hands. We pray for Don Smith, as Don has been going through some, not chemo, but some shots, and they're wearing him out, and just sapping away his energy. And we pray that you would, that these shots would be effective in caring for his health, but also that you will renew his strength at this time. We pray for Hazel Bacon. Thank you for how you've been caring for her and gaining her strength, renewing her strength, and keep that up, Lord. We pray for Beverly Brooks, who is continuing to deal with a lot of pain, and we pray that you would ease that pain. We pray for Doris Stainbrook, that you would ease her pain, provide for her needs. We pray for Shirley Walker, what a joy it is to see her back with us this morning, and we thank you that her eye is recuperating well from the cornea transplant, and pray that you continue to protect her back and renew peaceful relief of pain in her back. We pray for Ham and Bunny Geisbert, that you'd surround them with your care. We pray for Iva Del Filippi as she has been moved to hospice care and a care home in Surprise. Pray that you would strengthen her and pray that she would know your peace guarding her heart, peace that surpasses understanding, and be surrounded by your love. We pray for Greg Wilson as he has continued to battle cancer and going through chemo. Pray for Mike Shank. Thank you that the surgery on the carotid artery went well, and pray that you continue to watch over his recuperation. We pray for Pearl Jackson's family. And we pray for all the moms here today. Pray for your blessing on them. And I pray as well for, with Mother's Day in mind, but pray for those who are estranged within their families. It really takes away the joy of what Mother's Day could be because of those estrangements. And I pray for healing, your comfort, and your peace. We pray for folks also who've lost their moms, especially those who may have lost their moms very recently. We pray for your comfort to surround them. And Lord, we pray also for the people and the ministries of the Church of St. Joachim and St. Anne. And Lord, we pray for Habitat for Humanity as they are deciding presently on a new home to begin building in the later in the year. And pray for your guidance with that and for whatever family it would be that will be blessed by a new home. Pray for you to prepare all the way for that. We lift up all of these prayers, confident that we stand always in your loving hands. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust God with our prayers. Let us trust God also with our tithes and with our offerings.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for how you have blessed us in so many ways and how you provide us with an opportunity not to simply be people who miserly hold on to what we have, but you equip us. You build within us a heart that cares and wants to give back. And we thank you for that, and we thank you that we have the joy of giving back these gifts this day. Take these, use them to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
A reading from the letters. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. There are Bibles in the pew if you care to read along. Romans 12:9-21. Marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Shall we pray? Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Show.
couple weeks ago, we began to take a look at the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been walking our way slowly through the Beatitudes. And a few of you have told me how much you enjoy the Beatitudes, how much they have meant to you over the years. Today, we get to some Beatitudes that I would rather leave out. But let's take a look at all of these Beatitudes together, and then we'll dig into the last three. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at verse 1 through verse 12. And this is what is recorded here. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they treated the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. I hate to admit it, but I would love these Beatitudes more if they stopped at verse 9, instead of going on to verses 10 through 12. And actually, to tell you the truth, I would like verse 9 a lot more if I could modify just one word there. I'd be happier if I could change peacemaker to peacekeeper. Peacekeeping is safe and comfortable. Peacemaking is dangerous and challenging. In the Barefoot blog, Caitlin suggests, a peacemaker is someone who is willing to resolve both outer and inner turmoil in order to establish peace with others and within themselves. Inevitably, peacemaking will require engaging in conflict and tension to help bring the situation to a solid place. A peacekeeper, on the other hand, desires to maintain peace by avoiding conflict. They typically give in to the tension or steer clear of disagreement to keep others happy. Peacekeepers hate rocking the boat. Therefore, they will sacrifice their own inner peace to maintain the facade of peace with others. That's why I would prefer to separate Matthew 5:9 from Matthew 10 through 12, and why I would like to change the word peacemaker to peacekeeper. I want the comfortableness of keeping the peace while avoiding the conflict that can sometimes come from making peace. And I want to avoid the persecution that comes from seeking righteousness and justice. Throughout his life on earth, though, Jesus made it clear that he was not one to avoid conflict. Jesus confronted the Pharisees. He called them whitewashed tombs. He chased money changers out of the temple. He laid his life on the line. And he made it clear in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, that he would not encourage his followers to avoid conflict either. He declared, let me read these words again, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they treated the prophets who were before you. From Jesus' perspective, peacemaking is not devoid of conflict. Indeed, sometimes true peacemaking requires some conflict. The New Living Translation renders Proverbs 10:10, "People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace." In an article in Relevant magazine, Stephen Arterburn says, "Southern white men and women who were complicit in Jim Crow segregation were peacekeepers. They wanted to maintain things as they were without discord or change. They wanted to keep the peace as it was, racism disguised as peace. Civil rights activists had to sometimes disturb the peace in an effort to make room for real peace." Peace, in a biblical sense, is not merely the absence of conflict or making people comfortable. Biblical peace is something far deeper and far richer than that. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines as completeness, soundness, and well-being of the total person. Therefore, a peacemaker would not be a person who is skilled at avoiding conflict, but would be a person who contributes to the soundness, completeness, and well-being of others. A peacemaker is one who works for the establishment of what is right and good and just and healthy for all people. William Barclay suggests that peacemakers are those who are, quote, engaged on the very work which the God of peace is doing. Then he adds that peacemakers are, quote, those who make this world a better place for all men and women to live in. That is why it is essential that we not separate Matthew 5:9 from Matthew 5:10-12. For sometimes making peace involves making this world a better place for all men and women, and sometimes that demands conflict and means that we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. These three beatitudes go together. Martin Luther King Jr. once remarked, "Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Consensus asks the question, is it popular? Conscience asks the question, is it right?" When we are guided by cowardice, we do not take stands that result in persecution. When we are guided by consensus, we do not take stands that may involve persecution. But when we are guided by conscience, we do take stands that put us at risk. In Germany in the early 1930s, masses of German citizens idolized Hitler for restoring national pride and order. Hitler appointed Ludwig Müller to lead the new United German Church. And Müller began to establish a new theology and ethics for the church. He announced that love among German Christians would have a, quote, hard warrior-like face. And continuing with that quote, he says, it hates everything soft and weak. Muller published a pamphlet titled German Words of God, which included a revision of the Sermon on the Mount. In the introduction to the pamphlet, Muller explained, I have not translated the Sermon on the Mount, but Germanized it. His Germanizing of the Beatitudes included getting rid of the call to meekness. He changed that third beatitude to, happy is he who always observes good comradeship. He will get on well in the world. Christian leaders in Germany who asked, is it safe or is it popular, went along with Muller and with Hitler. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one German pastor who asked, is it right? He took a public stand against German fascism, and SS guards dragged him away from his radio station for speaking out against Hitler. Eventually, he was arrested and put in prison. But even in prison, he lovingly cared for his fellow prisoners, and he lovingly cared for the guards in the prison until his execution on April 9th, 1945, at Flossenbürg death camp. The camp doctor who watched his execution later wrote, through the half-open door in one room of the huts, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Bonhoeffer was a fulfillment of these beatitudes. As a peacemaker, he was recognized as a child of God. As one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake, he received the kingdom of heaven. And as one who was martyred for his faithfulness to Christ, he entered into the joy of heaven. On April 12, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested for the 13th time as he strove for civil rights for African Americans in our nation. He was placed in solitary confinement in Birmingham and was denied the right to talk with his lawyer until President Kennedy intervened on his behalf. From his cell, he wrote what has become a classic piece of American literature, a letter from a Birmingham jail. In this letter, he writes, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century BC left their villages and carried their thus saith the Lord far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my own hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Shaped by these beatitudes, Martin Luther King Jr. was guided not by cowardice or by consensus, but by conscience. He asked not, is it safe or is it popular, but is it right? Up until verses 11 and 12, these Beatitudes are spoken in the third person. They're spoken in an impersonal way, as though they could apply to anybody. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But at verse 11, Jesus switches to the second person plural. His words are now aimed squarely at us. It's not impersonal now, it's personal. And he tells us that we are blessed when people persecute us on account of our faith in him. I find it significant that the point where Jesus gets directly personal is the point where he begins to focus on our relationship with him. Could it be that Jesus wants to make clear to us that our relationship with him cannot be merely a theoretical matter, but a deeply personal matter? With verses 11 and 12, Jesus seems to be asking, will you entrust your lives unto me? Will you value me more than you value your own safety and security? David Roper shares a story that helps put this truth or this matter into perspective. He writes, when the offering plate was passed during the worship service in a small rural church in Scotland many years ago, a young boy placed the plate on the floor, stood up, and stepped into it. When asked to explain, he replied that he had been deeply touched by the minister's life, and while he had no money to give, he wanted to give himself wholly to God. The boy who stepped into that plate was Bobby Moffat, who in 1817 became a pioneer missionary to South Africa. He was greatly used of God to touch many lives. And it all started with that small church and with that youth stepping into that offering plate. Faith is actually faith when it moves away from the theoretical to the real, when we are willing to put our very lives into our faith, that's when faith becomes real. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you for these Beatitudes, and I thank you for how they can shape us. But they shape us not simply with nice, comforting, encouraging words. They shape us with very challenging words. Will we be peacekeepers or will we be peacemakers? Will we be people who are guided by safety or consensus or by conscience? We'd be willing to take the risk of putting our lives on the line for righteousness' sake. We'd be people who are willing to put our lives on the line for our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you will shape us by these words of the Beatitudes. But Lord, it takes far more than just words. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in us, guiding us, shaping our conscience, driving us, and encouraging us to live by our conscience and by our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand, if you're able, and let's sing together Faith of Our Fathers. I should have stressed before we sang that song, especially on Mother's Day, that it really is the faith of our fathers and the faith of our mothers. There are a lot of women who were martyred for their faith as well. And we live our lives in gratitude for those who were willing to lay down their lives for their faith. As a benediction, I want to share with you Micah's words. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. May all God's people say, Amen. God bless you, and we do invite you to our Mother's Day brunch over in Swain Hall.